Hello, I'm Kathy Duplantis, and it's always a joy for me to welcome you into Studio C. We're going to have a great time on Glorious Living. Thank you so much for joining me today on Glorious Living. You know, every time we get together, I always get so excited because I know that God has a great plan, and I know that God has brought you here to hear things that are going to help you to live a glorious life. And as usual, I always have Chrissy with me here
yes,
on the program.
Yes, ma'am. And as usual, it's always a great time with you. I love it.
I love it, too. You're such a precious young girl. I love seeing the generations. Oh. You're the next generation.
And thank you.
And it's wonderful to see what God can do when we give Him our life.
That's so true. And people are being touched and changed all over the world by giving their lives to Jesus and watching JDM and just getting enthused about the Bible. I love seeing people comment, I'm so excited about this topic. I can't wait to hear more. And I have one I have to share today that is just so amazing. It says, oh, how much I love the way you teach. It makes me want to read the Bible, not because I'm supposed to read it, because I want to read. Mm. My mind doesn't wander. I don't want to miss a word you teach. I love it. That's so great. The passion behind this person studying the Word, that's why we do these things.
I know. I love that. And that's what happened to me when I first got born again. I just fell in love with the Word of God, and I just wanted to know everything about it. Because, you know, I never, like a lot of people, I never read the Bible till I got born again.
That's right.
And it was in a hotel room in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Amen.
And there was a Gideon Bible there, and I read about it, had like an insatiable hunger to learn more about this God that I had just met.
That is so awesome. Yes. And you know, thank God you did. And you listened to that prompting of the Holy Spirit, because we're sitting in a beautiful studio teaching and proclaiming the Word of God. And Miss Kathy, your prayers ignited Brother Jesse to get saved.
Yes.
And it's awesome. It's a miracle. And it's so great to celebrate that.
Well, you know, a lot of people I didn't realize that I could live a glorious life, that God did have a good life for me. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's the scripture in John 10, verse 10. And He says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
I see that as a glorious life.
It sure is. I know there's even more glorious things to come in this program.
That's so true. And we're so excited to welcome back Fritz Brown to Studio C. You may have heard some fun stories about Fritz over the years. He was our first employee at the ministry and has been faithfully serving the Lord here at Jesse Duplantis Ministries for over 41 years. Fritz is currently our product distribution supervisor and serves as the Louisiana State Director for Christians United for Israel. He is here today with us to share the importance of Passover and how we as Christians should reflect on this precious time as we prepare for Holy Week. Fritz, thanks so much for coming back.
Hello,
thank you
Fritz.
So much for inviting me back. I really appreciated the opportunity.
Yeah, and so you know, you're like our resident Hebrew scholar here at the ministry.
He sure is.
Yeah, you may not see yourself as that, but compared to us, honey, you're a scholar.
He knows his stuff.
That's good stuff. Yeah. I always learn new things when we get together. Even when we're just talking at work and I have a question, there's been times I came up to you, asked your opinion. You have so much wisdom and insight because I know you've been studying for such a long time.
I enjoy studying the Word of God. It goes back to the testimony you shared. It just has a great passion inside of me just to know the Word of God. I want revelation knowledge from God.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And you're always studying. In fact, you helped Jesse get all the books that he has in his library at our house. When we built the house, we built a nice study for him. Mm-hmm. I remember when we first were started in the ministry, he had no place to study. Mm-hmm. We had a little two-bedroom house, and it was always my desire to get him a place. In the next house we got, he had just a little bit more space, not quite. I think it was an 8-foot by 10-foot little room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then later it was... It has always been something that's so important to have a dedicated place where you study the Word of God. And
absolutely.
I know that you've done that yourself at your own house. You've told me that.
Yes, I've got probably close to 2,000 books in my library. Over 1,000 of them are academic, and I really love it. I just can't express enough how I just feed upon revelation. God just drops little nuggets in my heart. And I like to come unglued and jump over my desk backwards.
You get excited.
Can you
about
still
it?
Do that at this age, Fritz?
No, not quite. I just be a little
great.
Careful.
Yeah, that might not be wise.
Yeah, might just say
just because you can do it, maybe why
you
not
maybe
watch
shouldn't,
it?
Yeah.
Wisdom cries out. Yeah, don't
That's
do that.
That's so fun. And I love when we get to talk about, you know, just getting together and talking about Jesus is awesome. But especially during this season, as we prepare to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and Passover. And I know you have so much to share about that and how it's so important for us as Christians to really embrace this time. I mean, so important for us to reflect on it.
Absolutely. And people need to see the parallels between particularly the story of the binding of Isaac. In Hebrew, it's called the Akedah. It said every day in Jewish prayers and stuff. That's the most repeated story in a Jew's life. Every single day they're talking about that in some aspect or another. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, when I was studying about Jesus' triumphal entry, and I wrote an article about it in our magazine and for the April issue, but it was so important to realize that the people of that day, what Passover really meant, that they got that week, they got that little animal aside, they kept it in their home.
Mm-hmm, that's
and
right.
Then when Jesus came in, he was the lamb that came into the city in that at that week, then that holy week. But it's we as believers that really don't know the history of what really happens in a Hebrew home or a Jewish home at Passover. Won't you give us a little insight on what you know about that?
Well, I'm not an expert on it or anything like that.
Oh, come on.
But they do have the Passover Seder.
Yes.
And they go through the different steps in the Passover Seder. And it all has very symbolic meaning. At this point, I've never participated in a Messianic Jewish one. I've participated in a couple of them at Orthodox synagogues here in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with a lot of meaningful things between the night of the Passover in Egypt and also the sacrifice that Yeshua, Jesus, made whenever he was crucified.
Yeah, so as a believer, you see the connection.
Absolutely.
And this, everything in the Old Testament that was provided, it was a type and a shadow of what was to come.
Yes.
Preparing the people to let them know that they needed a Savior. They needed rescuing.
Right.
You know?
A lot of people don't know, according to Jewish tradition, some things. They say that Isaac was born on Passover.
Oh.
I don't know if y'all had ever heard that before.
No.
But he was born on Passover. He was weaned also. It says his mother weaned him. The Jewish sages from ancient, they say that that was also on Passover. And just a lot of different connections when you look at it about how things parallel with Messiah, with his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Well, if we have time today, maybe I'd like to talk about this. People in the body of Christ don't know the exact day. But they should know, but they don't know the exact day that Yeshua was crucified on. Mm-hmm. Some people say Wednesday, some people say Thursday, some say Friday. Maybe we have time, we'll get into that too.
Well, if it was Friday,
possible.
There wouldn't have been 3 days. I can't say, even though we celebrate Good Friday, usually we say that, but it couldn't have been, I think there was like a high Passover, right? A regular.
Well, I believe that word says that Sabbath was a great Sabbath.
Great Sabbath.
And I believe that in my studies that Saturday, Shabbat, that was coming was the actual Passover, because they would kill the Passover the night before. What throws a lot of people is that in Matthew, it talks about just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But when you study that, there's an ancient manuscript that goes back to 8th or 9th century. And the transcriber wrote in the margin of that manuscript, he wrote the words 3 days and three nights are not in Matthew's original Hebrew gospel. And when you study Matthew, that's I think in Matthew 16, I believe. Matthew 18 talks about the same story Jesus talking about his upcoming events for his life. And he doesn't mention the 3 days and three nights again. Luke also, in his description of what was taking place at the same time, Luke also omits 3 days and three nights. What I want to bring out was really important is that in Luke's gospel, Luke 24, I was reading a while ago, it says that on the first day of the week, Luke 24, 1, which we know would be Yom Rishon in Hebrew or our Sunday. So on that Sunday, it says that the women went to the tomb with the spices they had prepared for them. Then you go through the dialogue, you know, the angel tells them that why seek ye the living among the dead, which is so powerful.
Yeah.
And then it says they ran to tell the other disciples of the Lord. And Peter ran on to see for himself the resurrection of the Messiah. His body wasn't there and he was perplexed. Well, in the same story, Luke 24, it says that there was two disciples going to the road to Emmaus and they were discussing all the things that happened. And Jesus secretly met up with them. Their eyes were veiled. They didn't know it was him. And he said, what are y'all talking about? Kind of paraphrasing a little bit, and they said, are you a stranger in Israel? Haven't you heard all the things that happened? How we had Jesus of Nazareth, who was to be our, we believe that he would be the Messiah to redeem Israel. And they said this very powerful word. They said, besides, today is the third day since the chief priests killed him and all the people. And so what's ironic about that, it says at the beginning, Luke 24, 1, it was the first day of the week, the third day. So in order for you to be dead and to be risen, for you to rise from the dead on the third day, you have to be dead on the third day, right?
Yeah.
So if the third day was Sunday, and that was the third day of his death, what was the second day of his death? Saturday. What was the first day of his death? Friday. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the Greek where it talks in the Gospels, it lists a particular word, I can't pronounce, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it says that that day was Friday, that it was crucified on. So a lot of people don't know that, but when you go back and look at it, it's very, very powerful on that. Mm. The third day of his death was Sunday. The second day of his death was the day before, Saturday. The first day of his death was Friday. And you look at what I explained.
Because it became like night in the middle of the day.
Right. The Jews, they believe that any part of a day, whether there's 2 hours left, 6 hours left, whatever, that's all considered part of the day. And we know that Jesus was crucified or he died at the ninth hour of the day at 3 o'clock mm-hmm. in the afternoon.
Man, there's so much knowledge, Mr. Fr. I'm literally just trying to take it in, like looking at you and getting
through. Thank you very much.
What gave you that passion to study for this? I mean, was it just something innately or did it happen overnight? Was there something that just kind of gave you that unction to start, you know, studying?
I believe that I'm walking in my calling, in whatever degree it is, and my calling is to teach the Word of God. Of course, I've been here, as Kathy mentioned, 41 years.
Wow. But
the anointing that God has on my life, I believe, is to be a teacher. I've had people over the decades traveling around with Brother Jesse tell me, the Lord says, you've got an anointing to teach on you. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that in my life, to whatever capacity, whether it's one-on-one, a couple of people on a TV set, or to larger groups of people.
Wow.
To answer your question, that's an anointing that comes from God for me to get in the Word and to reveal His scriptures to me, and I love it. I just can't get enough of it. You ask my wife all the time in the books, all the time.
That's awesome. Well, you got a lot of them, too. I mean, that takes a lot. Well, you said over 2,000?
I believe it's about 2,000.
Wow.
I've got them all categorized in an Excel spreadsheet.
Come on.
I haven't looked at the quantity of them yet in a while, but it's quite a bit of them.
That's awesome. It really is.
Well, I love the fact that you still enjoy studying the Word after all these years. I remember when you first came on with the team, you were just like 18 years old.
Remember that box I used to bring with Boss in the van?
Yeah.
Box of books, Strong's and Corinth, Fines, couple of commentaries.
Yeah.
Couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah,
still
so
can't.
In the meetings you'd go to, like Sunday through Wednesday revival, you would sell the products for us, and then you'd study during the day. And
Boss gave me a great compliment one time, Brother Jesse. He said, I never have to worry about you. He said, if I ever need something during the day when we're at these meetings, he said, I know I can pick up the phone and you're going to be right there, right next to the bed, studying the Word of God.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Faithful Fritz, they call you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's so good.
I love that. And, you know, the thing about this, most of this month we're going to be talking about the resurrection because Easter does come during the month of April.
Yeah.
And so it's so important that we commemorate that and remember what happened and what was going on in the minds of the people of the day when that really did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important that we celebrate these moments. And God, in the Old Testament, there were always these feasts and these festival times that people would come together. God wants us to come together.
Right.
And celebrate, and especially at Easter time.
That's right.
It's so important that we gather with our family, make sure we all go to church and honor the Lord.
That's right.
Because of His resurrection. That changed time. That changed everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I like to call Resurrection Weekend or Resurrection Sunday. The world's got, you know, different. They kind of take away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
You start talking about Easter bunnies and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like to call it Resurrection Weekend, Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
We like the celebration time as well, thinking about, and some people, they get up like at the crack of dawn and do a sunrise service. I have never been a part of that. I'm sleeping through that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my whole life is spent in service and worship of Him and all that He has done and what He means to me. And
That's
why we have this program and we have this glorious living because we hope it's contagious. We hope that our passion to study the Word of God and
get
into the Word is catching on and that it's creating a desire and a hunger in you to know more about God. And you know, when we spend time with God in His Word, that's the only way we get to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse and I have been married almost 55 years now, and the more we spend time together, I thought I knew him.
Yeah.
But the more we spend time together, our conversations, we get to know each other even more. And that's how it is with God.
Yes.
He gave us His Word. It was spoken so that it would be written, and it was written so that we would read it and speak it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we read the Word of God, we find out more about Him. And
yes.
Are you still making new discoveries?
Oh, all the time. like I said earlier, I can't get enough of the Word of God. It's my passion. Mm-hmm. I feed off of it. I just, like I said, ask my wife. I'm all the time in the Word.
Yeah, it's something like when you cook. I hear you're a good cook, too.
Oh,
when
I know
he is. When you taste something good, you want more of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
What's your favorite thing to cook, Fritz?
So good
right now.
Well, it's a hard choice, but to narrow it down to two things, probably the crawfish etouffee and the red beans and rice. Some of my friends that are on Facebook, they can testify. I take a picture of the pot when we start with all the onions and the different
you're
things.
You teaching them?
Then I take another picture.
He's posting. I'm watching, and I don't really want to do it myself. I just want you to bring me a plate. You know what I'm saying?
I'll bring you some.
I don't think it'll turn out like what you made because it looks so good. It does.
I'll bring you some.
Okay, cool.
You got it on camera.
Oh, great.
That's a unique.
That's
those are both unique recipes or unique dishes that are unique to South Louisiana.
That's right.
Everybody down here does red beans and rice or has some. Or in all the restaurants on Mondays, they have red beans and rice. You know why, don't you? They'll tell you Monday. It was because Monday was wash day.
I knew that.
I told you. Wash day. The beans would soak.
I think you did tell me that.
Okay.
And they would soak all day long, and then they'd be doing the laundry of that day. So that's why a lot of times in the restaurants, if there's a special on Monday, it will be red beans.
Right, and rice.
If they have a daily special, that red beans and rice will be on Monday. I think it was like that in the little school Meredith used to go to. There was a little song that they would sing about Monday. I have to get that little song for you.
I love it. That's so good.
But, you know, and then the crawfish etouffee. A lot of people don't love crawfish, but down here we eat so much of it, we hardly ever export them because we eat them all up.
Yes, indeed.
We made a 16-quart pot a couple of weeks ago, and we still have a little bit left. And I've got four children, just two of them are at home. And so we got this big old pot and we had a little bit left. Now my youngest son, Jonathan, he just left to go out of town for 10 days. My youngest daughter, Lauren, she just got married and her and her husband were living with us. Mm-hmm. And they finally got him an apartment and stuff. So my wife said, hey, we got a little bit left. We're gonna freeze that now. And when Jonathan goes out of town and Lauren goes off to her apartment, guess what we have in the freezer?
Yeah, you save it for you because they will take it.
Just for the four, no more.
Yeah, it's be us two now.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
That's so great. And then it just reminds me, it's like, you know, we're going to have a crawfish boil. My husband, he's from Guatemala originally, and then he moved from Guatemala to North Carolina, then to New Orleans, and he's just as much a Cajun as I am.
Even though he's Hispanic.
Yeah,
right?
Even though he's Hispanic.
Latino.
Yeah. He loves boiling the crawfish. So we're going to have that in my house on Resurrection Sunday. We're going to go to church as a family and come and have a crawfish boil. And it just reminds me of the culture here and how important it is to get together, celebrate, and to get immersed in that culture. But when you study those festivals and those feasts of the Jewish people, it really enhances your celebrations so wonderfully.
Absolutely. Well, in Hebrew, I mentioned earlier that in English we say Passover. In Hebrew, it's Pesach. Mm-hmm. And pe means mouth and sach means to speak. A mouth that speaks. Mm-hmm. And I was reading Psalm 126:2, or actually 1 and 2, and it talks about when the Lord came, we were like them that dreamed. Mm-hmm. And he said he came and delivered Zion. Specifically, if you look at what it's talking about, whoever the author that wrote that psalm, he's talking about when the Messiah comes to redeem Israel in the latter days. Mm-hmm. And it's our mouths will speak and proclaim with joy.
Come on.
It's, Psalm 126:2 talks about the joy that they're proclaiming. And when Messiah comes and splits those clouds open and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, you will see rejoicing like you've never seen before.
I can't imagine, but man, what a beautiful day that will be. Mm-hmm. And just to reflect on those things and go to those passages. So would you encourage those who want to learn more about those things to kind of go back to the psalm? Where would you tell them to begin to really go delve into that?
And to rejoicing absolutely in the psalms. The psalms are filled with joyous things. Now remember Pesach, the mouth that speaks. And the mouth that speaks, what is it speaking? It's speaking forth the praises of God, which is so powerful. And the Psalms are filled with praise of God.
Yeah, I love that. It reminds me of the day of Pentecost, how they, when the fire of God came into that upper room, they spoke out things. And what the people heard in their own languages was them glorifying God about his wonderful works and
that's
what
exactly
he had done.
Right.
And you know that had to
be some
rejoicing going on.
That's a very good point.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Would you have loved to have been there that day?
I know. I think about that all the time, about how amazing and miraculous it must have been to be in that upper room.
It was so powerful. And then it spilled out from the room. It hit the streets. 5,000 people were born again, I believe, or was it 3,000?
Well, you're correct in both, 3,000 and 5,000. The scriptures say, in, of course, in Acts chapter 2, that 3,000 were added to the church there. But then in Acts 3, 1, when Peter and John, it's the King James says, it says, now Peter and John went up into the temple. I was doing the teaching on the crippled man that was healed in that story. And I had all my word studies done and everything was complete. And I said, what does that word now mean? So I went, looked in the Greek where it says, now Peter and John went into the temple. The word now means on the same. I thought, on the same day as the day of Pentecost, at the hour, at the ninth hour of the day, they were going back into the temple after the grand, glorious things that happened at 9 o'clock. And I said, it's only the third hour of the day. These men are not drunk as you suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, 6 hours later, at the ninth hour of the day, 3 o'clock, Peter went up and grabbed that guy that was crippled by the hand and lifted him up. And he began to walk and leap and to praise God in the temple. And all the people saw the wondrous things. And it says, and 5,000 more were added on the same day. 8,000 people. I'll tell you one more thing also. I heard somebody teaching this maybe the last week. They don't understand, and I have to be sympathetic for them and not be condescending or anything, but they teach that when Moses was up on the mountain, they received the Torah on Mount Sinai, and then they saw Moses came down, the golden calf was there, and 3,000 people were slain that day for their idol worship with the golden calf. And people don't equate what takes place next to say, well, just like 3,000 were slain on the first Pentecost, Mount Sinai, so, you know, 1,300 plus years later, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were given life. But what they don't understand is that Moses, after God spoke the Ten Commandments to them, he went up to the mountain for 40 days. So on Sivan 6, the month Sivan 6, is when they received the Ten Commandments. 40 days later, after that's when 3,000 were killed.
Because he broke them. Yeah. That's what I think Jesse has said. Moses got, the people broke one.
That's
so
right.
Moses broke 10.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
They had another God before them.
Yes.
So he had to go back and get another set, basically, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's a cool story with that itself.
Right.
But most people don't understand. They try to use that there's 3,000 deaths and 3,000 life. No, the day of Pentecost was Sivan 6 in Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. 40 days later, approximately 1,300 years earlier, I think it was the month Tammuz, which is talks about a lot of destruction of the temple happened there, first and second temple in there. And so a lot of different destructions happened. So it's the 3,000 on Mount Sinai is not the same date as the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, it's easy to try to connect all those dots, but they don't always work just that way. You could tell that you're a great student of the Word, Fritz, and love to study the Word of God. And there's always, we don't claim to know everything, but we're still diving in.
Well, I need to dive deep because I need to start learning.
I'm learning every day.
And yeah. I know there's so many people, you know, even watching right now, they have a passion, they have a hunger, but they really don't know where to begin. What would you tell those people who say, oh, this is too big for me to comprehend, or maybe I'm never going to get there, I'm not going to arrive?
I'll tell the people the same thing, that when people come, so occasionally I still work the product tables for Brother Jesse, and people come up to me and they say, what's a good product? Well, it's all good.
Yeah, right.
My first question to them is, they ask me a question, ask them a question right back. I said, look, I said, has the Lord been dealing with you about anything in particular? I said, I would want to take that with the Lord dealing with you about and see if we can find something on Brother Jesse's table that would parallel that. So I tell the people this, if the Lord's dealing with you about particular things, whether it be Passover or Pentecost or any other thing in the Bible, get you a good Strong's Concordance or something like that and start looking up scriptures and let the Lord begin to speak to you, and you'll begin to grow leaps and bounds as you get into the Word of God. Ask God for a passion to get in the Word of God, because it's His truth, it's His infallible Word, and it will change your life.
That's so good.
That's great advice, Fritz. And anybody that takes that advice will learn. If you just dig in, you're going to find something. I often tell people to start at the Gospel of John if they're not sure. That gives you the history of Jesus. You see a lot of the miracles. You see a lot of wonderful things that will get your interest. And I just think that that's a good book for any new person that's studying the Word of God for the first time to get started in. I wish I'd have been told that in the beginning. I kind of started on the first page.
A lot of people do that.
And it's all good. Don't get me wrong. Every word is there for a reason.
Yes.
And so God, but trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. I always like to sit in the morning and open up my Bible and say, Lord, lead me where do you want me to study today? And sometimes there's a thought. Sometimes I just open it up and then I start reading, and then he says, turn to this. The Holy Spirit leads me to turn to a different page or maybe a subject I'm interested in.
Right.
And sometimes I'm in the middle of a study and I go right there anyway. But when I'm not in that place, I trust the Holy Spirit to guide me. You know, he always does.
Oh, right. He sure does.
And what you explained is a very simple thing that anybody could do.
Yeah.
You approach to God in the Scriptures. I'll tell you something that the Jewish people teach the young children when they first start introducing them into the Torah, the five books of Moses. They teach them to study the book of Leviticus. That's the first book that a young Jewish child will learn.
Really?
And if you know anything about it, my rabbi friend, Rabbi Uriah, studied at a synagogue. He said, the Exodus ends on a cliffhanger. And he said, all the priests are anointed, they're ready to serve. And the scriptures say in Exodus 40, that the glory of God came down and no one could stand to minister. End of chapter.
Cliffhanger, for sure.
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
I shared with another rabbi friend of mine, this same synagogue. I said, everything's always in place with God. The Spirit's there, the anointing's there. And what happens next? Leviticus 1. God says, hey, my presence is here. I've got everything here. Now in Leviticus 1, the law of the burnt offering, I'm going to teach you how to draw close to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they teach the young Jewish people how to draw close to God through Leviticus. Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Yeah, and we're all called to draw closer and closer to him, especially in this moment, in this time of celebration.
Absolutely.
That's so good. It's almost like I could just see a table that's set. And God has this beautiful table set, and the plates are empty, but he just says, come to me, and I'm going to fill you up. He's going to put exactly what you need right there in front of you.
That's right.
And I believe that's what God is doing for you today, that he's touching your life, giving you a hunger, a new desire to go deeper into his word. And I encourage you to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. And he will do that. Jesus says his words are spirit and they are life. So God's word is alive. It's living today.
Amen.
And it's available to you for God to touch you. Right where you are.
Yes.
In fact, let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had to talk about your word and to study, talk about the things that's important to us and important to you. Lord, I ask your blessing on everybody that's been joining us today, watching this program. Lord, I pray that they'll be strengthened, they'd be encouraged to get into your word, to dive into the deep truths, Lord, to trust your spirit to guide them where they need to be, and make the reading your word and studying your word a priority, and make serving you a priority. Lord, we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, that's great. I know I've been excited and encouraged.
It's been wonderful. Yes, thanks so much for coming back, Fritz.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
So good.
I know that you've ignited the hearts of people to want to get deep into the Word and study more. I know this one has.
I know. I'm writing. I'm taking mental notes on. Got to get my Strong's Concordance out.
Turn with me in your Bible.
Yeah. And as this ends, we begin Hebrew school.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for all our partners that help us to do what we do. We appreciate you so much. If you're not a partner and you'd like to be, you can go to jdm.org or use PayPal, text to give, or select giving on the JDM app, or you can mail in your donation. Just know that we appreciate you, all that you do, and that we want to thank you in advance for helping us to reach people and change lives one soul at a time.
Amen.
Yeah. It's been so great. And thank you, Fritz, again, one last time. And Chrissy, we'll be back again next week.
I can't wait. It's good stuff.
That's right. Amen. And I'll be right here next week, and I hope to see you right here in Studio C at Jesse Duplantis Ministries. God bless you.